Feast of Epiphany and in that gospel, one worldview would say that the great players of the world are the Herods, the Caesar Augustuses. Okay? They're the real movers and the shakers of the world. But another worldview would say that the real people who influence the world most are the saints. Okay? The real players are Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. It's those who strive to live God's kingdom on earth, bring the moral order into the universe. And they say this, that there's a secondary, Pope John Paul II said that there's a secondary history of the world, and that secondary history of the world is written by men and accomplished by men. But he said the primary history of the world is written by God and accomplished by God. The primary history of the world is the history of God's grace in the world. So the first, we would say, the false view is that, you know, the politicians, the Herods, who think wealth and power are the most important thing, like it's the economy, stupid. That's the idea of the first worldview. But again, like the true history of the world is that those who strive, you know, to bring God's order down to earth, God's moral order into the universe, they're the real movers and the shakers, the saints. It's not the politicians. And so in the gospel, we have the Magi and Herod. And the Magi are ready to leave behind respectability. They're often thought to be kings, the three kings, and they leave behind their power, their respectability, and they come to bow down before this King of Kings. The title King of Kings, Lord and Lords is not mere poetry, but it really means that every nation is subject to God's law. Every law that we write should be a reflection of God's law in this world. Okay? And so the Magi seek this alignment between heaven and earth. His kingdom come down to earth. Thy kingdom come, as our Lord taught us. And our richest efforts are not to be given to the political order so much as to that moral order, that deeper story, to get up and follow the star, the light of faith, the tug of Christ that leads us to God. Not the passing affairs of the world, but that deeper story. And like we say, even the Constitution bows with the Magi. The Declaration of Independence of our country bows with the Magi. It says, all men are endowed by their Creator with certain rights. Among these, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Human laws reflect God's laws, recognizing it's God who gives rights. It's God who institutes, who makes institutions. So the state does not give us the right to life, as the Constitution acknowledges. You know, it's given to us by God, and so we live in a nation, you know, founded on that principle, that we're subject to a law higher than our own laws, human laws. Like Alexis de Tocqueville said that America is great because America is good. If America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. Okay? So that goodness means living the moral order. America is great because America is good, because we seek, hopefully, to live that moral order. Herod, on the other hand, refuses to acknowledge any law higher than his own law. He refuses to acknowledge any authority greater than himself. Okay. We say another example, like the state did not create marriage. God created marriage as the permanent union of a man and a woman. And the state can only bow down before that truth or refuse to acknowledge it. So it can recognize that it's subject to a higher law than itself, or like Herod, choose not to reflect God's law and its law. Again, Herod refused to acknowledge anyone greater than himself. The Magi, on the other hand, fall down in adoration before God. That bowing of themselves is a symbol of bowing our wills to God. Like Father John Harden says, that the highest form of adoration is sacrifice. And the highest form of sacrifice is self-sacrifice. And the highest form of self-sacrifice is to sacrifice one's own will. So to conform our wills to God's will, to bow down our minds, our hearts, our wills to Him, to surrender to His truth, is the highest form of adoration. And that's what the Magi teach us. The Magi are kings who leave their countries to acknowledge the kingship of God. And then they return to their countries, okay, to reflect that in their nations. Back to today's gospel, Magi enter the radar of King Herod, and they seek a newborn king. Now, Herod thinks this is a rival, and under the pretense of piety, he plots the murder of this newborn king. So he calls the Magi to get the time and place coordinates. When will this happen, and where will it happen? The stars in sacred scripture are like the GPS system in the gospel today. And like we say, these two visions of life, Herod does not seek the alignment of heaven and earth. And the Herods of this world always seek to oppose the ways of God, to obstruct, to persecute Magi, those who seek to live the truth. The Magi see with spiritual eyes, and they expect opposition. But they're overjoyed at seeing the star, and that's the joy for which we were made. Okay? And their response is self-giving. In the face of God's greatest gift, the incarnation, they prostrate themselves. Herod, on the other hand, is a hoarder. He wants to have, he wants to maintain. Again, the Magi bow down. They bring gifts of gold because Jesus Christ is a king, actually the king of all kings for all time. They bring him frankincense because he's God. And they bring him myrrh because he's destined to die for the sins of the world. And so too, when we surrender to God, when we follow that star, ultimately we too become givers of gifts. And the last line of the gospel says that the Magi went back to their own country by another route. Fulton Sheen says, of course, no one ever comes to Christ and returns the same way that they came. So we pray that this feast of the Epiphany will transform us, okay, to follow more and more the light of the star and to surrender to that higher order and to find the peace, the joy that God intends for us.